day. Yesterday we started talking about the tznaim that are involved in fixing a punctured shofar. Rabbi Teicher's yortzeit, we talked about Rabbi Teicher's incredible fix-it abilities. We should remember Rabbi Teicher, Rabbi Pinchas Teicher, and the wonderful mispalel that he was here, wonderful person that he was as well. So we talked about three conditions. Number one, we talked about the idea that it can't be rove, that once the majority of the shofar is punctured, so it can't be used again. Number two, the sesima, the closure has to be done min bimino. You can't introduce another min. That ties back into the issue of bei shofaros. And number three, that it can't be ma'akev es hakol, which most Rishonim understand to mean that the shofar would at least be passable before you fix it. If it's no longer passable, so it loses its chalosh shem shofar, it's no longer a chafzah shel shofar, and then fixing it is not considered to be halachically a shofar. A shofar has to come from the animal. It can't be literally a repaired shofar in that way. If it was at least passable in the intervening period, even though nobody would choose to use it lechatchila, so another never had what we call hafkas shem shofar, it stays within the framework of a shofar. So we have the last two mishnayos of the third parak. Hatokeh lesoch chabor lesoch chados o lesoch hapitam im kol shofar shama yatza v'im kol havar shama lo yatza. So basically three different fact patterns that all have to do with the same case, more or less. A person who blows a shofar into a pit or into a cistern. Okay, a cistern would be a barrel that's above ground. Or you have a kind of a container which is above ground, which is was referred to in the Mishnah here as dus. All of these are acceptable if you're actually hearing the sound of the shofar. If you're hearing the kol havar, if you're hearing an echo, then you're not yotze. So it's an amazing thing. You know, you learn these mishnayos for many, many, many years and decades, and you think to yourself, you know, when is somebody going to be blowing a shofar into a bor or into a cistern or into a barrel? And I haven't seen that one yet, but, it seems like eons ago. But remember the first COVID Rosh Hashanah, we all talked about the idea of masking the shofar. And there was a big discussion amongst the Rabbanim and amongst the Poskim. Is that a kol shofar? Is that a kol havara? We tried to do experiments. It obviously wasn't entirely clear. So remember we had John blowing, 100 meters away by the steps or whatever it was that we did. I don't know if we can say fond memories, but memories, things that we went through together. But there was this whole discussion about masking the shofar, right? You know, and whether that would be a kol shofar or that would be a kol havara. Okay, so we basically people who did mask it, we didn't do that here because we weren't sure that it was effective, not from a halachic standpoint, from a medical standpoint, but that most people felt that indeed was a kol shofar. Okay, b'chein. Again, the question of kavana. Mishaya over achori beis haknesses sheya beisu samach beis haknesses v'shama kol shofar kol megillah in kivin libo yatsa v'im lav lo yatsa av b'shez shama v'zeh shama zeh kivin libo v'zeh lo kivin libo. So we have a case of, let's say, tkiyah shofar, it's mitzvah deraisa. We have a case of kriyasa megillah, mitzvah derabana. And generally speaking, there's a discussion. Mitzvos trichos kavana, mitzvos einan trichos kavana. What do we say? Everybody agrees that it's optimal that mitzvahs should be done with kavana, but maybe not absolutely essential. But there's a difference between mitzvos masios and mitzvos like shofar, or counting the omer, or kriyas hamegillah, where the entire mitzvah is to hear something or to read something. So there, it seems like kavana is absolutely essential. And it's really in both directions. It's kavanas hashomea, the one who's hearing. It's also kavanas hamashmia, the one that's allowing the sound to be heard as well. So kavana becomes an absolutely essential feature. Now, again, we're not talking about kavana having, Kabbalistic sodos in a person's mind that, people can have whatever kavanos they want in that sense of the term. But here we're talking about kavana l'shem mitzvah, that a person, the Gemara contrasts it with Hatokei Lashir, a person thinks that there's a musical instrument going on, or a person who's misasik, a person's mind is completely somewhere else. Those would be cases where a person didn't have Kavana. Now again, Min Hastam, the Gemara assumes, and the Rishonim Paskin this way as well, that the Baal Tokea has in mind anybody who can hear him. So not just anybody in the room, but let's say somebody that they can't see, somebody who's standing outside, wasn't able to make it in. So they have kavana to be motzi them as well. So then we have one of the most famous mishnayos in Shas that picks up on the issue of kavana. V'ayakasher yare Moshe yado v'gavar Yisrael Milchemes Yisrael be'amalek v'chiyadav shel Moshe osos milchama v'shovers milchama. What is this? You know, like me'onein or menachesh or mechashef. It's a sorcery. Moshe's lifting up his arms and the Jewish people are victorious. It seems completely contrary to our understanding of how the world works. So the Mishnah says, yadav shel Moshe osos milchama v'shovers milchama. That's going to make or break the war. Elomer l'cha kosman shi Yisrael mistaklin klapei mala u'mishadin asleep on navim shebashamayim hayim misgabim v'im lav hayunoflim. No, it was a siman. It was meant to be a sign to point up so that the Jewish people would recognize that their salvation, Ezri Me'im Hashem, Kayotzi Badavarata Omer, when it came to the Nachash HaNechoshes and Parshas Chukas, and the Jewish people were Medabrim Bahashem Uva Moshe, they were complaining about all of the conditions in Midbar. So Moshe is told, Aselecha Saraf, Asimo Solanes, Vayakol HaNashuch, Viro, So Vachai, anybody who's been bitten, smitten by these snakes, if they look at it, they'll have a healing. That's why the symbol of medicine to this very day, right, is a snake wrapped around a staff. What is this? Some kind of a talisman? Ela bismanchi so mistaklin klape mala umishadin asleep on the avian shebeshamayim hayu misrapim vim lav hayu nimokim. What made the difference? Some people died, some people lived. Is if people had emuna that Hashem ani Hashem rofecha. So the parak finishes on a very critical note, which has shas implications, not just when it comes to mitzvahs shofar. Chere shote v'katan emotzina sarab midei chova asan zeaklal kol shenem b'chuyah v'davar in emotzia sarab midei chova asan. To help somebody else discharge their obligation, whether or not I have discharged my obligation, even if I have discharged my obligation, I have to be mechuyav bedavar at the same level that they're chayav in. So let's say a katan has a chiyav derabanan, is a din of chinuch, but that's not going to cover somebody who has a chiyav deraisa. The question is, sometimes you have a chiyav derabanan, like we were talking before about mikra megillah. So the most a person could ever be obligated in mikra megillah is midirabanan, because it's not a mitzvah min haTorah. So the Balei HaTosos take up that issue in many places, in Megillah, in Rosh Hashanah, and elsewhere. And they say, but no, there's an issue there of trei derabanan, because a katan is only a bar chiyuva derabanan in any mitzvah, even a mitzvah daraisa. And here you have a mitzvah derabanan, so even multiple derabanans are going to factor in. So there's a very famous line by Rashi, which I'll finish with, an expansion of the Ritva. So we mentioned before that even if somebody discharged their obligation, they've been helping a fellow member of Klal Yisrael discharge their obligation. That's the principle of Yatzimotzi that comes out of this Mishnah. So Rashi says, a Chiddush, he says, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeba Zeba Mitzvos, that there's some kind of relationship, like an Arev guarantees somebody else's loan. There's some kind of relationship between different members of Klal Yisrael in mitzvah. So if somebody hasn't discharged their obligation, so just like I can back up somebody's loan, I can help them discharge their obligation. So the Ritva says, well, how exactly does that work? I understand how that works if somebody can't pay their loan, so I just take the money out of my bank account and I pay off the mortgage company, the bank, the creditor, whatever it is, right? But how does that work when it comes to mitzvah? So the Ritva basically says that there are two dinim in every mitzvah. There's my personal responsibility for a mitzvah, and then there's another element to my connection to a mitzvah, which is, has everybody in Klal Yisrael Beyotze this mitzvah already? And if the answer to that is no, so I haven't fully fulfilled my obligation either. That's an amazing idea. The Ritva's expansion of Rashi. Rashi's already a Chiddush, because the Gemara says, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazen, in the context of Onshin, that we can all be, this is the Gemara in Sanhedrin, which says, V'chashlu Ish Ba'achiv, that we could be held responsible for each other's sins, in Eretz Yisrael at least. So it's a Chiddush to say that it applies to mitzvahs, and it's a double Chiddush that the Ritva is saying, to say that the reason is because I really haven't fulfilled my obligation. There is no such din as yatza motzi, because really I haven't fully fulfilled my obligation if a single Jew out there, b'medinas hayam, hasn't fulfilled their obligation.